It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin.
Welcome into the show. I want to thank John McClain for joining the station earlier today, filling in for Lance capably, and actually gave Lance his flowers, which Lance begged for yesterday and did not get from the listening audience. But John McClain credited Lance for all the hard work. That must be restricted to NFL draft stuff, because we certainly don't see it on the show. The hard work doesn't exist unless he's working for Raj, but thanks to John McClain once again for joining us, and we'll see if that happens more often in the future. It was an interesting night last night, mostly because I didn't have to punish myself with watching the Astros. I mean, it's a punishment until they play better, but we don't have to talk about them too much. We'll get into the game tonight. They've got we've got Verlander on the mound. Excuse me, the Astros do, and is it the start of a turnaround? Probably not. Just hope Verlander pitches well, and we'll move on from there. But last night in the NBA, you had a controversial game, we had late game controversy in the Pacers-Knicks game. And I had a caller call up earlier. He called up to the John and Lance show.
To talk to you.
Featuring John Granato and John McClain. He called up earlier, but to talk about what he thought about NBA officiating. And you know what? I think they're just incompetent. This caller thought they're cheating. And I'm interested where people fall, because there are a couple situations in that game last night where there should have been a non-call, really. It should have been a play on when they ruled that Nesmith kicked the ball. That ball bounced off his arm. It wasn't a kickball. And because that's not a reviewable play, the Knicks got to keep possession. It should have been another Jalen Brunson turnover, who was a little turnover prone late in that game. A couple of bad decisions by him. I mean, you can add Tyrese Halliburton to the mix as well. Both point guards made some questionable decisions. Obviously, Jalen Brunson was great as far as putting the ball in the bucket. But he did have a couple questionable decisions late as he was getting pressured by the guards on Indiana. That should have been a play on, or at least a review, but it's not reviewable. And I'm of the opinion they just stink. They're just bad at what they do. I don't think they're cheating. I don't think they're trying to help the Knicks win. I just think they are awful. And sometimes their awfulness shows up in big moments. Why that's not reviewable, I don't know. Particularly if the play is stopped, it's ruled a kick ball. The play is stopped. Why can't you just review and see if that ball was kicked or not? And give the Pacers the ball back, or give the Pacers the ball, because they would have had the ball if the whistle wasn't blown. So I wanted to know from Sean and others, 713-780-3776, and this could be something we talk about throughout the show. Do you guys actually think the NBA is full of corrupt officials, or are they just incompetent? I think being incompetent is worse, because at least if you're trying to be bad, like Jonte Porter, and we're good at not getting caught, then I might applaud you for trying to directly influence a game and no one being the wiser. Yeah, sure, there are people thinking that you're doing it, but no one could actually catch you. But if you're just bad at your job, I think that's worse. And I think that's what they are. And we're going to have to deal with this in major moments. Are they more adversely affected by big moments? Like, can officials be considered clutch? Like, oh, this official's on clutch. The moment was too big for him. Of course he screwed that play up. I don't know if we can attribute that to them like we do to players, but they stink. And unfortunately, we are going to bear the brunt of how bad they are. And it affected and cost Indiana. I won't say it cost them the game. Indiana had chances. They let the Knicks back in the game a couple times, and they fought back themselves. So, you know, most teams won't point to the officiating unless you're the Denver Nuggets, unless you're Jamal Murray. He had a night last night. But I think referees are bad. I think we had a dichotomy. We had bad referees in the Pacers-Knicks game, and I think we had good referees in the Nuggets-Wolves game. I think the Nuggets did not expect to be bullied like they were, and then when they tried to fight back after they're down like 20 points, 20-plus points, it was like fake physicality. Like, we're going to throw an elbow here. We're going to up our aggression. But it was too late. It was clear. You were not built for that particular moment on that night. And the Wolves, without Rudy Gobert, and we'll hear from Gilbert Arenas because he's special, talking about why he would have decided to stay instead of, you know, seeing the birth of a child. That's why Rudy Gobert wasn't available. But it didn't matter. The wings on Minnesota, whether it be Jaden McDaniels, Anthony Edwards, or Nikhil Alexander Walker, they got after the Nuggets on the defensive end, and Naz Reid stood up to Jokic in a way you wouldn't expect. And the Nuggets tried everything they could to get Karl-Anthony Towns in foul trouble, and when they thought Jamal Murray had drawn the second foul on a charge, and they didn't, that's when Michael Malone went off. And it just led to a night of Nuggets complaining, Nuggets throwing heating packs at officials, and not just a heating pack. In fact, after more investigation, it appears Jamal Murray threw a heating pack and a towel at Mark Davis. He missed both times, and Tim Legler had something funny to say about it that we'll get to as well when we come back. But an overall surprising night in the NBA. Not that the Pacers-Knicks game was competitive. That wasn't surprising. But the fact that the Nuggets got bullied the way they did on their home floor and had no answers, and it led to, like, Jamal Murray doing the Bronx cheer when they got fouls called against the Wolves. That's reserved for fans. Fans do that when things are going poorly. When you do it on two consecutive foul calls, you know you're out of their game. This series isn't over. You can do all that heart of a champion cliche stuff. I was one who thought as long as the Nuggets are healthy, they're going to win another NBA title. They look, when their starting five is on the floor, unbeatable, particularly the way they execute. Well, Minnesota didn't allow them to get into their execution bag late because the game was a blowout. And the Nuggets looked shook from Malone going after Mark Davis on the floor. By the way, Mark Davis is a referee. He went after him, and then Jamal Murray the same. That didn't look like the composed team that we knew last year and what we expected, particularly after what they did to the Lakers in the first round. The Wolves are a different animal, no pun intended. They're just, once again, no pun, dogs. They get after
you. Okay, come on.
Hey, dogs.
These puns are intended.
No, these two weren't intended. But what else am I going to call them? Edwards, Alexander Walker, Jaden McDaniels. They're dogs on the perimeter. They get after you defensively. They make it difficult. Nikhil Alexander Walker had a smile on his face in the middle of defensive possessions because he knew Jamal Murray couldn't get by him.
There's got to be something more than dogs, something bigger than dogs.
Well, what, hounds?
Wolves.
Dire wolves? What do you want to call them?
I want to call them timber wolves.
You want to call them timber wolves? Okay. There are wolves out there. Fine.
There's five of them.
They got dogs. They got that dog in them because they're wolves, I guess. I don't know what
there's
we're doing.
There's five T-wolves out there. Yeah. They're all playing defense. Even without Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert missed the game due to the birth of a child, and it didn't matter. It did not matter.
Specifically, the way that the Wolves won. Like, if the Wolves had won because they made 23 threes and they just shot incredibly well and they won, you know, 125 to 101, that would be one thing. But the way that they won by just, like you said, just defensively, just punking the Nuggets.
That's all it was.
Up and down the court.
I mean, Anthony Edwards got off to a slow start, then got it going. But all they did was punk the Nuggets, each and every player, every time they tried to run any offensive set.
And the Nuggets, like, they melted. Jamal Murray had a full meltdown.
Lost his mind. He's probably not going to play in game three. You throw things at a referee, and they determine that, oh, that was you. And not only once, you threw something at him twice. He's probably not going to play in game three. So we get into conspiracies. If they let him play, then we can start another one.
They need a longer series.
How they don't want the Nuggets to be – how they want the defending champion to stay in these playoffs, so on and so forth. But that's suspension worthy. You can't throw something on the floor. And then when we think about he likely was throwing it at the referee, he's got to go. Yeah. I mean, I'm not Stephen A. Smith. I'm not going to call the league office and want an investigation if he doesn't get suspended. I'm not the ops. I'm not his ops. I don't care that much about it.
No snitching.
No, I'm not going to. I don't want Jamal Murray out of the game three, but I've never seen anything like that happen and a guy not lose a game. We'll see how it plays out. But, yeah, the punking, I mean, the Nuggets aren't going to admit to it because it's embarrassing to say, but the Wolves went out there and punked them from start to finish. They played out of character, And like I mentioned before, the fake physicality to try to get back in it, and it didn't faze the Wolves, and they're a team that was maybe thought to be too young, although Cat's been around quite a bit, and so certainly Rudy Gobert. Just not a lot of playoff success on the roster. Mike Conley's had some with the Grizzlies, but that's a team where the Thunder might have been assumed to be next up because they won the one seed, and they're the youngest team, I think, in the playoffs. At least certainly their main contributors are very young, but maybe the Wolves are next up. Who's going to go against them if they're going to play defense like that? And the other thing is, which became a talking point, will the referees continue to let them play the way they played? Because if they get the chance to play like that throughout these playoffs, no one's going to beat them as long as there's health, because they have those three guys: Nikhil Walker-Alexander, Anthony Edwards, and also Jaden McDaniels. You talk about a perimeter three that can go lock down possession after possession. I don't think there's one that exists in the NBA like them right now. And sure, one-on-one, great, but their communication, how tied in they were, how locked in they were to shut down all of Denver's actions and sets, very impressive. Most impressive performance of the playoffs for me, considering where it happened and who it happened against. And after already getting one on the road, you think, we got the one. We'll go home. We've got home court. They're like, nah, we smell blood. And they took that game from Denver, and now Denver's got all the questions to answer. And the question will be, will the NBA do what they probably would do in any other situation and lock Jamal Murray down for game three and say, just like Jaden McDaniels lock you down, we're going to do that to you too. You can't play because you can't throw stuff. You can't throw a heat pack and a towel. And, oh, by the way, he also did they're getting paid symbol too. It was a trifecta. He did three things that in any way probably would get you fined, because we know Rudy Gobert got fined for it. But when you put them all together, you at least got to get a game.
He did three things that are probably going to get him a game. He also made three shots the entire game.
Well, Tim Legler, we'll talk about that. We'll play that sound coming back, because Tim Legler had a bar for Jamal Murray.
Dissing is in the air.
Yeah. Hey, everyone's going to look.
Roasting, dissing. Like, we're at peak negativity right
NBA,
now.
NBA on TNT, they played Kendrick Lamar songs a couple times.
going to commercial.
Yeah, not like us, a couple times. So, yes, dissing is in the air. Everyone can catch some, and Legler had some for Jamal Murray. We'll play that when we come back. First segment out of the way. Plenty of stuff to get to. The Texans are talking, not in the way that Kendrick or Drake are talking, but mostly just about their team. We'll have an update on Tank Dell from the McNairs, and very protective of their player. They did not want to get into what was actually said. You'll hear from them on that. Hannah McNair had some smoke, some light smoke for John McClain's question about uniform colors and the Titans. She was like, why do we need permission? So we'll hear from her about that. The First Lady of Houston football wants all the smoke. So a lot to get to. Just getting started. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Okay, and if he's honest about that, he's 100% getting suspended. Oh, I was trying to throw the heat pack at Mark Davis.
I don't think it's 100%. It's something less than 100%.
By the way, under 90, he was 3-for-18. I'm not shocked he missed Mark Davis with the heat pack.
Can we just state for the record?
Tim Legler this morning talking about Jamal Murray. Not just the heat pack, as I said. A towel that he threw. And also he gave these refs are getting paid. Jamal Murray was on one last night, completely frustrated by what was going on. He's not healthy, so I'm sure that's playing a part of it too, but just being hounded all day and all night by the Wolves and their perimeter defense. And you watch the Wolves play, and Kyle Anderson is getting more minutes he got more minutes last night because of Rudy Gobert's absence. And it's like, you've got these Wolves, and then you've got this lovable sloth that's out there playing. And Sean and I decided that they adopted Kyle Anderson as one of their own because the sloth mom and dad disappeared and left the baby unattended. And normally these wolves would eat that sloth alive. But for whatever reason, in a mystery to the to observers, they brought him into the fold and they love him. And now, and he acts like a wolf when he can. But really, we know he's just a sloth.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they really do all play the same way. It's just that Kyle Anderson plays the same way, just at 75%.
Everything's speed. Just a little bit slower.
Just a little bit slower.
And you know, Anthony Edwards at times going, Kyle! You know, he's yelled at Kyle a couple of times for not being in where he's supposed to be. Not because Kyle Anderson isn't trying. He's just not as quick as all the rest of the wolves. He's like, what is it? What was that jungle book? He's like Mowgli in the jungle with all the acting like all the other animals, except he's human. He can't do all the things that the other animals do.
Yeah. Jamal Murray's like, I want to be like you one day.
Yeah. A heating pad and a towel is what he threw. I know, KJ, he threw a heating pad. He also threw a towel. The video's out there too. And he made the money symbol as well. So it's going to be, I think Jamal Murray's going to miss some time, at least the game, for a preponderance of actions, maybe. Maybe he could have got away with one of them, but he can't get away with all three of them. And we'll see what the NBA does, as it was a bad night for the Nuggets all around. Great night for the Wolves. And the comparisons to Michael Jordan continued last night for Anthony Edwards. And he said, I don't want to be compared to him. Not because he doesn't respect Jordan. It's just that Jordan's great. I'm not him. He's the greatest. And there's another reason why you can't compare Anthony Edwards to Michael Jordan. You have never heard Michael Jordan respond to a question in this way when a teammate is being asked a question. We know Michael Jordan, not a great teammate. Not a guy that's going to be looked at fondly. It's just not, it wasn't his personality. Great player. We're not going to knock it. But he wasn't looked at as a welcoming guy who's going to embrace his teammates and encourage them by words and actions. In fact, you're more likely to get punched in the face in practice than hear a kind word, because he had a standard and you had to meet it. Well, if you think Anthony Edwards is anything like Jordan, maybe it's only on the court, because this in the post-game presser would suggest he's nothing like the greatest player of all time.
Cat, years and years ago when you came into this league as the number one pick, you were drafted not only for your offensive talent but for your defense and the promise that everyone thought you had. Does it feel good to be getting back to that and showing your capabilities again and not, you know, just being viewed as the stat stuffer and the big offensive player that you were?
He was never viewed as a stat stuffer or just a... No, I know that. I'm just saying. He was never viewed as that, especially when I got here. I always thought he was a great defensive player. He just had to put his mind to it. And when Finchie got here, man, Finchie put emphasis on, hey, Ann and Cat, if we want to go somewhere, we got to defend. And like he said, that's the head of the snake. And hearing that from him, it pushed Cat, man. And I tell Cat, we need you to defend. Corliss tell Cat, we need you to defend the whole team. And, you know, ever since he's been back this whole year, man, since he's been at the four, he's been defending his ass off. So he's been playing great, and we hope he continues to do it.
I wasn't alive for every Michael Jordan after-game presser. We didn't have the access that we normally do now. I don't remember anything like that where Jordan's jumping in on a conversation to big up his teammate and let everyone know, no, Cat's that dude. I don't know if he ever did that for Tony Kukoc or Bill Winnington or Scottie Pippen or Ron Harper. Don't remember it ever happening. Maybe you Jordan historians who anytime his name is brought up have to run to a phone or a keyboard to tell us how great he is. I'm not disputing that. I'm just telling you the Ant comparisons maybe stop with the baseline jumper, because he's not that's not Michael Jordan that we heard.
Hey, Craig Hodges. Let me tell you, Craig Hodges.
We know Michael had one of the...
When Phil Jackson got here.
You know Michael Jordan wanted to beat the hell out of B.J. Armstrong. We saw that in the doc.
That's the thing. That this isn't just like hearsay. This is a produced doc.
Documented.
A documentary produced by Michael Jordan.
He was okay with some of the things in this.
He was like, all that Scott Burrell stuff, leave it in.
Yes.
I love it.
Does it make me look bad? Not to me, it doesn't. Not to me. So, yes, Anthony Edwards is the new guy that everyone wants to ordain. But at least in some ways, he's nothing like Jordan. And we'll see if he can surpass Jordan in one way and go win a title before he turns 24 years old. Which, are you – after last night, it's one game. It's obviously something that you can't you don't want to extrapolate going forward because the playoffs are long. But if what we saw last night, that Wolves team is going to be like that in a game where they could have easily just been like, you know what, we got our one. We're just gonna take pack it up and go home. And if the Nuggets want to blow us out, they'll blow us out. Nah, they decided they're gonna eat the Nuggets alive, and they did that.
I mean, they're already up 2-0 and they're going home. So like, even if these two games were complete outliers, and then the next five games of the series, they just play what our expectations were before the series, they'd still win.
They would still win.
They'll still win. Yes. They just need to win two more games. They need to not go 1-4.
Yeah. Now, it's certainly possible, but the Nuggets team we saw last night looked like a team who had no answers, and we'll see if how the game is officiated changes the potential outcome, because you know that'll be a talking point for the Nuggets until they see Minnesota again. Their inability to play offense against them because of the physicality of a Wolves team that they're going to say was too much and shouldn't have been allowed. But hey, playoff basketball, did they take it to a level that the Nuggets couldn't match? It looked like it, and we'll see if the officiating becomes a bigger question going forward if the Wolves all of a sudden aren't allowed to play the way they were allowed to play in game two. But that kind of gets us through what happened in the NBA. Really an entertaining night for different reasons. Pacers, Knicks, competitive. The Wolves and Nuggets was just how surprising it was for a team that people were still questioning, how surprising it was for them to go into Denver, a place that's very hard to win, and go take the second game and take two overall and go home being up 2-0. I mentioned the Texans, and we'll hear from the McNairs when we come back. Also, D'Amico spoke about, I don't particularly think the J.J. Watt thing is serious, so I'm not going to get to that. D'Amico pretty much said, ha, 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 yeah, sure, I always need J.J., which was more or less, hey, this is not a real thing. Leave me alone, at least in my eyes. But he did talk about being able to have an extra preseason game, and the McNairs talked about from everything from uniforms to also Tank Dell and his recovery. So we'll hear from the McNairs when we come back. I also wanted to get to some college football stuff a little bit later in the show. It's not about the way too early top 25, because that's been out for a while, but some of the reactions after the spring we can get to. I mean, we talked about quarterback rooms yesterday. We'll get into some of the overreactions regarding the top 25 and whether you guys agree with it or not. Just getting started on the show. We got plenty of stuff to get to going forward. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Sean, did you import all these instrumentals from the beef? Was that your doing?
You're welcome.
Have you chosen? Well, I didn't know I was supposed to thank you.
Oh, I thought that was your way of thanking.
No, I had a question for all the hard work. Because you have put songs in from both sides. So have you chosen a side? Have you taken a side in the beef yet?
I mean,
what
is it that split? You had to basically be like on OVO's
payroll
to have one of the opinions.
True. I mean,
at this point, you have to
be an OVO stan.
I have to have an owl in my Twitter handle.
Yeah, to not side with Kendrick in this.
It's like it's pretty comprehensive.
Yeah, I feel that way, but you know, some people might feel differently, and those people are being paid by October's very own.
What does that stand for? OVO.
That's what
I heard. It stood for other.
Oh,
other
well,
things.
If you ask Kendrick, other something option. Yeah.
I don't think the Drake songs are even that bad, or they're not bad. They're good songs.
They're just losing.
He just got outmaneuvered.
Yeah.
And
he got beat.
and
sometimes it happens. Yeah. So the other songs are better, and he got beat. And the responses or excuses for how he got beat don't really stick. But so Sean is strictly on the. On the West Coast side.
I've always been a West Coast
guy. You've always been a West Coast guy?
Yeah.
I would have probably...
DDE Mapes right here.
is that in your Twitter bio, TDE Mapes?
It might be.
Like, I grew up on the West Coast, so I have a bias to picking Kendrick, but still, facts are facts. The facts remain. Kendrick Lamar won this one, and Drake will survive. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. I got a feeling that Champagne Poppy will be fine. He'll move on.
People will make jokes. He'll have to maybe lay low for a little while.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the culture really has had enough of him, but there'll always be Drake people, Drake fans, and he'll make his music and be A-okay, even if he has to, you know, be huddled in Toronto because he can't go anywhere. Speaking of that, there was a shooting outside Drake's home. Drake is not affected. Drake wasn't hurt. I don't even know if he was there. But outside of his home, the one that Kendrick made very public, there was a shooting, I think about 2 a.m. local time. So I don't believe anyone was killed, but there was violence outside of Drake's home. Who knows where that ties back to or why it happened, but it's out there. Happened early this morning in Toronto, Canada. I don't want to transition into what happened to Tank with that, so we will start with Hannah McNair. Hannah McNair is vocal. We had John McClain, and he talked about the fact that Cal likes that she is always by his side. He doesn't have an ego where he's concerned or upset that despite him being the actual owner of the team, his wife is a prominent voice when it comes to this organization. Cal doesn't have a problem with it, and it appears that combination will be something that will be around for the foreseeable future. And it was at a golf tournament. The Texans were raising money, and they raised a lot of it for charity. But the media had access, so they began asking their questions. And John McClain, as I mentioned, he was here, is the voice you're going to hear first, asking Hannah McClain about the uniforms and do they have to ask the NFL and will they be wearing them against the Titans. And Hannah McNair kind of snapped back at McClain, going, why do I need to ask anyone about this?
Have you guys asked the NFL if you can wear the H-Town blue when the Titans are here?
Why would we?
Why wouldn't you? It's a natural. It's Houston color.
It's a Houston color, but what does that have to do with Tennessee?
What it has to do with Tennessee. I heard you talking about it on 610.
We put the uniform combos after we get the schedule, so that's when that'll happen.
So Cal, I don't know if it was real heated. You hear John McClain laughing at it. They have a relationship, the McNairs and John McClain, you know, the legend that McClain is. But Cal's like, all right, there is a process for this. But the assumption for all of us is that those uniforms, those H-Town blue uniforms, will be broken out specifically for a game against the Tennessee Titans when they come to town. That would be the belief. Unless it's in a bad window, like if it's a noon game with the Titans involved, it could very well be a noon game.
I think it's going to be a noon
game. Yeah, but they're going to break up those uniforms for the Titans. What's the point of the back and forth if you don't use the H-Town blue against the Titans? But she is letting the world know that the Titans don't dictate to us, or their presence doesn't dictate to us how we will use our uniforms.
Yeah, the Oilers throwback from last year for the Titans makes it seem like it's like we're talking about how beef is in the air. That's how you need to respond.
Yeah, you put on those uniforms
and this beef between billionaires.
Yeah, well, beef that we for whatever reason are concerned with or not concerned with.
Well, we're kind of
a beef. Yeah, we're not really that concerned. A beef about uniforms. Aesthetics is what we're concerned with, and a color blue
between the Titans and Texans.
Yeah, of all teams,
between two AFC South teams.
Yeah, it's a beef that's going to resonate across.
If only there was, you know, some high level matchup between these two at any point in history.
If
the Texans had actually won at Arrowhead against the Chiefs and actually played an AFC title game against the Titans in 2019, I feel like I would take this rivalry more seriously. Maybe part of it, definitely part of it, is that I don't think I was alive when the Oilers moved from Houston to Tennessee, so I don't have that much hate in my heart for the Oilers or for the Titans taking the Oilers. But yeah, I'm reaching my breaking point on how much uniform talk goes on in this rivalry.
Yeah, it's a lot of extra stuff that has little to do with the teams because they've never really been good at the same time. You know, people had emotional ties and when Vince Young came back here because the Texans should have quote unquote drafted him and so on and so forth. All that stuff. It's never really about the teams and the matchup and it's important. It's about these extra things that we have to sprinkle on because the rivalry itself is kind of a nothing. There's nothing. Hey, look, the biggest moments in the rivalry involved a fight between Andre Johnson and Courtland Finnegan.
Yeah.
You've got now the Vince Young play was an overtime in an actual game, but that was more about Vince Young growing up here and playing in Texas and how come the Texans didn't draft him. That it was less about the Titans. Not many people that I run into care that much that the Titans were used to be the Oilers. I don't meet many people that care that much.
The entire thing is just about the uniforms.
It is.
People just want the Texans to have the Oilers throwbacks. Even
though all the Oilers did was bring them misery.
Yes. Yeah, that's the only part of the history they want. They want Earl Campbell and they want the uniforms.
Yes. Team, look, I get embracing your teams. That's your history, particularly if you are just a Houston football fan. You love those Oiler teams, but the colors, all those colors bring back for me, obviously I wasn't here, was like blowing a game to the Bills or blowing a game to the Broncos.
That's what blows my mind is that everyone always talks about the history. The history is the biggest comeback in playoff history.
Yeah, you should want to wipe that from existence.
I don't want that. That's a Titans record.
Titans, keep it. You can have it. All that was misery. Keep all of it. I mean, not that the Texans have wiped it away with greatness, but you don't have embarrassing playoff moments with the Texans. They're like you get beat by the Patriots. They kind of did blow a big lead to the Chiefs.
The two Chiefs one. The blown lead against Mahomes is bad. And then the 30-0
kickoff.
Yeah.
Okay. It is embarrassing. You're right.
Different type of embarrassing.
But different type. Not record setting. Everyone's going to play these games on NFL if NFL Classic was a thing, but NFL Throwback's a channel on YouTube, and you can bet that the Oilers, formerly the Oilers, now the Titans, that Oilers-Bills game, you can find it on NFL Throwback. I don't know if you can find Niall Davis running back a kickoff and then you getting blown out and the Wattcat happening. I don't know if you can find that stuff on NFL Throwback on YouTube. But some of your failures as the Oilers, you can. You root for, your nostalgia is your nostalgia. But the fact that this is all based on a color of blue seems a little much. But hey, if Anna McNair wants to defend the honor of Houston football, so be it.
Standing on business. That's what the McNairs are.
Not even her franchise. I think it's just about the Strunks can't tell me what to do. It's more about that. You can't tell me what to do, Strunks.
I know she isn't talking right now.
If that's her energy, I agree. If it's more about not you, there are people who I might accept it from, but not you. I'm okay with that if that's what this is about. Like, you're not going to bully me, Strunks. But all that other, you know, nostalgia stuff, enough, right?
I'm just saying that personally, I can't get worked up about it because I don't really care about it. It's the uniform.
The Oilers / Titans against the Texans fight. I don't know, man. You got CJ Stroud. You're winning right now. I don't think Will Levis is going to become anything. But if Will Levis ever does become a really good quarterback in this league, then we can have a conversation about the rivalry. But right now, the Texans ahead. You've got your quarterback.
I would love for the rivalry to reach a point
where it's about football,
where it's Levis versus Stroud, or anyone versus Stroud, but where it's actually like on the field, the matchup between Brian Callahan and D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah, like we got Lance sent it to us, NFL Notes, because of the schedule release that's about to occur at some point. They'll tell us when it's going to happen, likely this week. Nothing in there about the Texans versus the Titans this year. Nothing about that. Like they run down rivalry games and return matchups and who's playing who and revenge games. Nothing in there about the Titans coming to Houston and seeing H-Town blue on the Texans uniforms. The NFL didn't want to highlight that, apparently. Didn't reach the level of some of the other things. Now, the Texans are mentioned. CJ Stroud is mentioned as a quarterback to watch and some of the quarterback matchups that I'll get to that. Some of the quarterback matchups that you can look forward to when the NFL schedule is actually released. Nothing about how the Titans deal with the Texans wearing H-Town blue in a game in Houston. The NFL clearly doesn't think it's that big of a deal. Maybe we shouldn't either. But, Mike, I see you. You want to talk Texans Oilers. We're due for a break. We'll talk about that. Anything else you want to talk about when we come back?
ESPN 97.5.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Dream Shake tweets the show. Set. We played some sound from Anthony Edwards earlier where he took up for Cat. And the question wasn't particularly aggressive. It was just about Cat being a scorer and getting back to that. And Ant talked about Cat being an overall player, not just a scorer, a guy who can defend. And we need him to defend if we're going to win. And Dreamshake says that's what Kevin Durant did for Westbrook and Kyrie and Harden, whether they deserved it or not. He says that's one of Ant's favorite players. And that's why, that's where he might have learned it from. I don't know. I didn't see a lot of OKC press conferences, but maybe Kevin Durant did that quite a bit. And it is unique when it comes to, if we're going to compare Anthony Edwards to Michael Jordan, you didn't see it from the greatest of all time, just not the way he operated. Mike, I know you called in. If you want to get back in and talk Texans, Oilers, your thoughts on our discussion or anything involving that pseudo rivalry, you can certainly call back in. I mentioned the NFL schedule will be released. People believe it'll happen this week. Does anyone schedule in your life schedule their year around the NFL schedule? Like, okay, I got the Texans against the Chiefs and I want to go to that game. I don't know anyone who does that. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I know it does. But I guess I don't know a big enough NFL fan to do it. I know plenty of college football fans who do it because the college football experience is a little different. If you went to the school, you're going back and seeing old friends that you haven't seen. Everyone knows the tailgating experience at college football games. It's different than the NFL. Certainly, there are different environments around the country in the NFL that can stack up. But just college football is different, man. And I know so many people who decide, like I imagine they're going to be Texas people who have never been to a game in Michigan. They're going to I'm going to that Michigan game. Or with their first year in the SEC, they're going to want to take trips. And they're going to do it more than once a year. I think from what I have seen and heard, most of the time for NFL people, it's one time. If there's a game like going to Lambeau, I know Texan fans have made that trip before, those historic places that they never seen their team playing, particularly with the NFC, you're probably only doing that once every 8 years. So I get it. I just don't know how big the NFL schedule release is. They've turned it into an event. And I'm just like, get on with it. I'll read the tweets. I'm not watching your shows.
It's the buildup to the schedule release to me. If you want to make the day a big thing, cool, fine, love it. I get it. But
I don't even get that, but okay.
No, I get like today is the day it comes out and here we go. Like, here's the big games. But to me, it's the few days before where they drop a, like, you know, on Christmas, it's going to be the Dolphins and Jets. Where how is that supposed to excite anyone?
Oh, the leaks that come out?
The leaks. But it comes from like Ian Rappaport or Tom Pelissero or Adam Schefter. So it's like clear that it is being intentionally leaked because it is NFL Network people leaking it. And so then you're just like, what? Again, how is it? How does the NFL think that 90% of NFL fans are going to take, oh, the Dolphins and Jets are going to play on Black Friday this year? It's like, who cares? Other than Jets and Dolphins fans, who would possibly care about
and by that?
I see that, and I see, okay, I don't have to watch the NFL on Black Friday. I can just watch the college football games.
You can't get – look, when they announced it, they thought they're going to have Aaron Rodgers versus a team who made the playoffs. And so you didn't even care when they announced it, when Aaron Rodgers was still available.
Unless it's like the first day – like the first game of the season or a game like directly involving a team I care about. I don't care what like – what the Thanksgiving games are. I know it's going to be the Lions and the
Cowboys, and then
early,
be
a, and then the Cowboys, afternoon.
And there'll be a Sunday, and there'll be a Thursday game. Night game, yeah.
And it's just, I just don't have the, like oh my God, what's the Christmas matchup?
So you're not excited at all about the potential for a Texans-Cowboys game on Thanksgiving?
No, I care about the Texans matchups. I don't care about all the primetime matchups. Tell me, like, I don't care. Tell me what the rest of the rollout that you're doing. I don't know why certain I get, because they're like the holiday like benchmark games, why they get the special treatment. But these aren't special games. These are still just primetime games.
Sure,
they're no different than a random like a week six Sunday night game. Like the week six Sunday night game might be the most interesting game on the schedule, but because it's not on a holiday, it doesn't get the eyes emoji from Ian Rappaport. Not to pick on Ian Rappaport, but
you've thrown slander his way a couple times
because he's an NFL mouthpiece. That's what he is. Well,
that's his job.
Yeah, I know. But why does he – this part of his job is not interesting to me. But there's a conscious effort to make it part of his job.
Yes. News breaking for contracts and a potential trade, great.
You
letting me know that the Chiefs are gonna host whoever on Thursday night to open the year.
And doing it 6 hours before the actual release of the thing. Like, I don't care. I can wait.
Yeah, don't preempt that. Just I don't let care. It be part
this,
of the entire package.
True.
Yeah, true. You didn't work hard. Someone gave that to you. You didn't ferret that information out. Someone gave that to you.
You're not Woodward and Bernstein,
so,
right?
Well, no. I don't know if he's breaking any news that'll shake the government to its knees. It doesn't seem like he's going on that path.
Wait, the Falcons are playing who week two?
Did he get
this
that?
Changes everything.
Did he get that in some parking garage?
Yeah, right.
Some Falcon source gave it to him. So I think you might have missed it because you're on the phone. And Brian, we see you. I want to get to you on the other side. You want to talk Knicks Pacers? Please hold on if you can. We're about to go to break here. So you wouldn't probably schedule your not the NFL schedule, but you wouldn't schedule a trip around the Texans game. But would you, if you had the means or the opportunity, would you schedule a trip around like Texas going to Michigan for a trip to the Big House?
I would. Yeah, I would if I had the means. And I don't know, for some reason the Big House
not attractive as far as the location.
Yeah, I don't know why. I'd like investigating it. I'd like right now as a live on the air. I don't know why the Big House just doesn't
do it for you, huh?
I get it's a historic stadium. It's just I rather go to like some of the SEC, you know.
SEC. No, already indoctrinated.
I rather go to Death Valley than to buy a flight to Ann Arbor, Michigan. Maybe it might just be the case. It's Ann Arbor, Michigan.
You rather go to Baton Rouge than go to Ann Arbor?
Stop off at La Brèche on
the way. Well, yeah, it's a location and a place you're familiar with. We were talking about this earlier as far as what Texas can do this year. They don't have a really tough SEC road schedule.
No, that's also part of the reason that I get what you're saying, but year one, I'm not itching to go to.
You want to go to Nashville to watch them play Vanderbilt?
I actually know on both counts. I don't think I want to go to Nashville
for anything, and you don't want to
and
watch them play Vanderbilt.
I definitely don't want to go to Vanderbilt. And they're torn down stadium.
Yeah. What about you want to go watch them play Pig Suey? Actually, yeah. That's a game. That's not a neutral site game. I'm thinking about the A&M Arkansas game. You don't want to watch them in Fayetteville?
No, not really.
So all of a sudden, all these SEC stadiums not attractive.
Well, because you started with Vanderbilt. I told you that the road schedule is not that enticing. Do they go to Starkville or is that at home?
They don't have to deal with the Cowboy Bells. They
That's
have
next
to,
year.
They bring Mississippi State to Austin.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Not so the Texas schedule as far as Texas people wanting to see SEC stadiums. Not great the first
yeah,
year.
Yeah. What are the other road games?
Well, you go to A&M.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah.
It's pricey, but theoretically I would go.
Yeah.
I actually don't think I would go.
You wouldn't go to that game. The rivalry renews, but even that's not enough to get you to go see your team on the road.
It's also during the holiday.
Yes, Thanksgiving, all that stuff. There are a lot of things that
It'd
come into play.
It has to be a family thing, and I don't want to melt down in front of my family. I don't want to have the potential to melt down in public with my family around. I'd rather do it in the privacy of my own home. Thank you very much.
I don't ever watch games that matter to me around people because I don't want to pretend like I'm a normal human being. I want to be that crazy person that I am while I watch my team. I don't want to be the guy, oh, that's okay. Look, he threw a pick. That's fine. Tyler Van Dyke threw another pick. That's cool. Hey, man, we're just living life here. I don't want to be that guy. I want to be able to yell and scream and be my normal self. Yeah. So I appreciate you not wanting to melt down. Brian, we see you. We're going to get to a break here. And if you hang on, we'll get to you as soon as we come back. He wants to talk Knicks Pacers. Anyone else want to talk about? Well, whatever they want to talk about. 713-780-3776. Gary, I saw you want to talk about Ann Edwards. If you want to talk about him, call back in. We'll get to you as quick as we can. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.